So let's wrap it up. Ask the questions.
Okay. So anyone have questions?
Yes. Can you hear me now?
Yes. Now is it good. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah?
But now I can hear you. What?
Can you hear me now?
Yes. Okay, it's fine.
Okay, yeah, it's good. Yeah.
So, John, I wanted to ask you about, first thing, I'm having lots of muscle spasms lately. I don't know, I'm being more aware of them, or it's just happening due to, I want to know if it's physical or it's mental thing. Because I'm getting more and more aware of little spasms everywhere. Or maybe it's body thing, I don't know.
When?
In the back, like in the back muscle or hand spasms. Just staying, when I'm sitting, I'm not doing anything. When I'm focusing on my breath or something, just staying grounded, that happens at that time.
And when you just do nothing concerning meditation, then it doesn't happen, or?
Yes. If I'm busy with something, then it doesn't happen. But if I'm focusing on my mind, or even just sitting and thinking about something, then it happens. It's like I feel my body shaking. Tremors is kind of...
Well, you have to investigate it more. You know, it can be both. You know, it can be the body, but, you know, it's probably the mind, yeah? The citta, yeah? I mean, see if you can calm down the citta, yeah? To a point, you know, where there are no more thoughts, no more memories, yeah? If there is still this spasm, then it is bodily, yeah? But normally it is, you know, it is mentally induced, yeah? Find out, you know, and also find out, yeah, exactly when or what happens before the spasm occurs.
Okay. Yeah? I notice it happens more in public setting.
It happens.
If I'm in public and if I'm around public, and then I'm not alone, when I'm alone, it doesn't really happen that much. That can happen at that time, but mostly in public, it definitely happens in city.
Okay, so there could be some fear involved, yeah? So, I mean, check it, you know, I mean, with your daily reflection, you know, see what is happening before you go to public, or when you see somebody, or when you meet somebody, or when you talk, what kind of thoughts come up, yeah? Because they give you an indication, yeah?
There is some body consciousness, self-consciousness about body, I feel like.
Yeah. Do it, you know, I mean, you will be able to see the cause of it, yeah, when you put a little bit more attention. So, I mean, in the morning when you wake up, you know, prime yourself, you know, okay, I want to have more attention, you know, when I'm in public, yeah. So in the evening then you can see, you know, what is happening, what kind of thoughts, what kind of memories come up before you go into public, or when you are in the public, when you speak to somebody, or when you see somebody, because that will give you the the indication of what is happening. Yeah.
Yeah, and my belly feels tight as well. I feel my belly is very tight, and I have to let go of it, really relax it. Then I feel normal.
Yeah.
So okay, and. About daily reflection, you said that I need to sit in samadhi and attain a decent level of calm for investigation to give fruits, right?
In the evening or in the late afternoon, yeah? I mean, you just calm your mind until it is calm, and then, you know, you don't need a lot of concentration, you know, for doing this reflection, yeah? Just go back in the morning, yeah? Well, with what kind of thoughts did I wake up? What kind of memories? What did I do then? And then go through the day. The important thing with the daily reflection is not, you know, not to judge it about good or was bad, yeah?
But if I think it in that way that I have to remember these thoughts, then I get a kind of headache. That I have to remember what came before that, what came after that. This kind of linear thinking is really hurts my head. I feel like it makes the practice very dreary for me.
It makes what?
Dreary, practice very dreary. Like, I feel very heavy in my head.
Yeah. Because there is something that the Kilesas don't like, yeah? So, it doesn't matter, you know? I mean, do it, you know? I mean, if you can't remember, just skip to the next thing, yeah? Don't wait too long, yeah? What did I do then? Can't remember, you know, what is the next thing I can remember? And then remember, you know? Just go like this, yeah?
Okay. So, in the morning I'm doing right now 30 minutes meditation. And evening, 30 minutes. Not really evening, but afternoon, after I come from college.
Extend your meditation in the morning to at least 45 minutes and in the afternoon also to 45 minutes, yeah? And after that 45 minutes, just go through the day. And whatever you can remember, that's fine. If you can't remember, that's okay, yeah? Just tell yourself, okay, let me be, yeah? You know the situation, let me be more aware in the situation, yeah?
How to deal with the having a concept of meditation as being really, really like a work. Like in this lineage, I feel like meditation is really treated as work, or as a duty to perform for investigation and everything. In the morning I wanted to relax, or you know, in the evening I want to relax, but then nothing, no calm, or very little calm comes. Very seldomly some calm appears, some peacefulness appears. But mostly it's just like I'm doing something without getting anything. How do you deal with this?
That is the expectations, yeah? I mean, think about it. You know, you want to walk from one city in India to the next city. All what you need to do is to put one step forward. Some things, you know, some roads, you know, go up the mountain, it's more difficult, and then some paths, you know, go down the mountain, it's easier. So it's the same with meditation. Sometimes it's easier, sometimes it's more difficult. Don't give up. Just go.
But for me, lately for 1 month around, it's constantly bad meditation.
Don't judge it. Meditation is not bad as long as you try, yeah? I mean, that's why I say I mean, you're meditating when you try to bring the mind back to the Buddha or back to the breath, yeah? That is our effort that we put in, yeah? So, I mean, it's not bad. As long as you do this, yeah? As long as you try to bring the mind back to the Buddha or back to the breath, I mean, your meditation is good. There's nothing bad, you know, in meditation, yeah? It's just the kilesas tell us, oh, it's so bad, it's so difficult, you know, and there's no purpose in it, there's no effect on it, just give it up. That is the kilesas talking. That's not
I
the
just
Dhamma.
End up sweating.
What?
I just end up sweating at the end of the session, very annoys me, like, I'm all full of sweat and I didn't get anything. This is what my brain tells me.
Yeah, but who is telling you you don't get anything? It's a kilesa. They want you to give up. And the more they try to want you to give up, I mean, the more interesting the things that will happen in meditation, yeah, you can see it, yeah? I mean, they try to prevent you from seeing something, you know, that is important, yeah? And that's probably why you're sweating, yeah? So it's actually a motivation, you know, when the more they try or the harder they try you to get away from meditation, I mean, the more valuable your meditation actually is. Not the other way around.
Yes. And another thing is, which is very specific, with my, I have very specific pain in the area of my mouth, in my face. And
it happens very frequently during the day. There are some days when it doesn't happen, but most days this is happening. And it's been happening since a lot of time, from years, in 2-3 years, I guess. And I don't know if it's anxiety, if it's stress, if I'm holding something inside me, because I've consulted my dentist as well. He said it's just your brain. There's nothing physically wrong. I've had my CT scan done and everything. And I just feel very tight in my mouth area. I do feel that it happens when I'm around public as well. When I'm self-conscious, I've noticed that. I don't know how to investigate this. I don't know what kind of questions should I ask. I don't really have no clue what to do with this. And it's really giving me a lot of suffering.
Okay. Relax, yeah? What you can do is, yeah, I mean, you go through the body. Have you ever heard of the point-to-point method, you know, where you put your attention on one point, you know, on the head, you know, and then from point to point to point to point, and then, just get the sensation, yeah? And then you will see, you know, there are points, you know, where there's some stress, you know, or there's some thing, then you try to relax it, yeah? I mean, close your eyes and think about it. Okay, relax my shoulder. Okay, and you relax it, yeah? Or relax this, or relax that muscle, yeah? I mean, you have the power, the mind has the power over the body. It can relax it, yeah? So go through the body, point by point method. I mean, you find it, you know, you find it online, how they teach it, yeah? And relax the body, and then go into meditation after that.
For how long should I do this?
No, I mean it, in the beginning it takes longer, you know. In the end, you know, it is 15 or 20 minutes, yeah.
Just have to go to the points where it's tight.
All of the body, go through all the points of the body, you know, yeah.
Like my brows, eyebrows, neck, shoulder, right?
Yeah, you can do that like this, you know, these are big points, you know, but you can do that in the beginning, the top of the head, you know, the side of the head, you know, the side of the head, you know, and relax it, yeah? And then the face, you know, or the eyes, you know, and the nose, you know, and the mouth, you know, and the chin, yeah? Relax it, you know, the back of the head, and then go to the neck, you know, and then go to the left shoulder, right shoulder, the upper arm, lower arm, yeah? You can do it like this, you know, or... Or then later on, you know, just a point, you know, point the size of a coin, yeah? And then just go to this point and then you see if there are some tensions or not. Yeah? If there are tensions, then relax it, you know, and you feel really good about it.
Okay, so...
You can do it also in the evening, yeah? Before you go to sleep. Start with the head and go to the feet, yeah?
I mean, will this cure this problem, or it's a temporary solution?
I mean, it is a temporary solution, but what, you know, what you will find out is, yeah, I mean, what is behind the tension in certain different areas, you know? The moment you go to the tension, and if you have sati, I mean, you will find out what is causing this trouble, yeah? Not the first time, you know, but after a while, yeah?
Okay.
Because if you go to a point of tension, you might feel some anxiety, you might feel some fear, or, you know, or something else, yeah?
Okay. And about investigation, if I want to investigate this, what kind of questions? I mean, I don't understand the kind of thing you do. My brain stops answering questions when I do this. I feel like I'm doing my imagination or test. Whatever my
medicine
tells me, I do this.
Yeah, I mean, at the moment, you know, forget about body investigation, yeah? So, I mean, at the moment, you just have to ask yourself what kind of memories, what kind of thoughts came up, and you know, what did I do? That's all, yeah? Or in a case, you know, what came, you know, when you see anger comes up, what came before? Or lust comes up, what came before this and what came before that? Just these questions, yeah?
Okay.
Don't go for the next few months, don't go into body investigation. Just get clear, you know, get clear of the things, you know, that are bothering you day by day.
Yes, even right now I'm talking to you, I'm feeling this pain.
Feeling what?
I'm having the same pain right now as I'm talking to you.
Yeah, yeah. That's a pain that kilesas produce, yeah? They don't want to hear certain things, you know, and that's why pain comes up or other things come up. Yeah? Okay?
And let me see. Yes, so when I talked about, talked this to you about before as well, when a certain situation comes up which induces anxiety or induces fear, should I embrace it with mindfulness, with sati, or instead do a suva practice?
No. You're talking about lust? Yes, of course, you know. Yeah, then you can do, you know, just have a
or
picture
body
ready.
Consciousness as well.
Yeah. Just have a picture ready, you know, and then replace the image that you see with the picture in your mind.
Okay. But when I do this, even if I do practice a lot, like having some certain pictures, remembering certain pictures,
yeah.
And if you fall for these temptations,
yeah.
Why does it happen that you immediately lose all your progress and, you know, immediately you are remove all, like, these things doesn't work anymore. You have to find new pictures or you have to find something more disgusting, revealing, so for the asuva to work. Why is it like that?
Because the kilesas don't fall for the tricks, you know, too often, yeah? So you have to change the pictures, you know, yeah? It's the same thing, you know, I mean, you see the same picture, yeah? I mean, people who are married for 5 years, you know, they see their wife, you know, and all the excitement has gone, yeah? They need something new, yeah? We constantly need something new. And that's why, you know, that's why these new smartphones are so enticing. Because we constantly see something new, we constantly get distracted by it, yeah? So just change the picture, yeah?
And finally, last thing is, how do I know if I'm going anywhere in my Dhamma practice?
What? How do you?
How do I know if I'm going anywhere, progressing or, you know, just going in the right path?
Oh, only after a while, you know, after a few months, you know, or after a year, you will see there's some reduction, you know, of greed and hatred, yeah? You don't see the progress, you know, instantly. You see it over time, yeah? When I look back, you know, I mean, when I was practicing, you know, super practice, you know, I did that for 7 years without seeing anything.
Mm-hmm.
I just go on practicing, you know, and sooner or later you will see the end of the tunnel. Don't worry.
Did you ever feel hopelessness during that time that you're not getting anything, you're not getting anywhere?
Then I just asked myself, you know, I mean, you want to be born again, you know? I need some motivation, yeah? No, just go the path, yeah? Yes, this really hopelessness I did not feel. But, you know, there was some dissatisfaction, you know, coming up, yeah? So, forget about it. Just go on. Yeah. Okay?
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Next month, in the second.
I want to ask some questions. Who would want investigation, right? When I start to cut the body, I can actually also look at the looseness of the body, like looking at the cut wound and like how the muscles look like and how the blood flows out. It's okay, right? Or actually it's too much. I should just focus on touching of the body and not at the detail.
I mean, yes, you can look at the detail, yeah, but it should be, you know, there should be some feeling of disgust coming up afterwards you do it.
Okay.
Yeah? If it's just playing, you know, we can play with the body, you know, for a whole time. And especially you know, I mean, you know every inch of the body inside, outside, you know, it doesn't disturb your mind, yeah? So you have to make the pictures, you know, that is something disturbing, yeah? While you do the practice, it's not disturbing. But afterwards you feel some unease coming up, yeah? Or sometimes some some anger coming up. Then you do it right. I have to strain my voice too much. Because of the rain. So, you understand?
So actually what happens is, now I've been doing my breath meditation as my daily homework and reflection. So at times I will look at the 3D image of the organs and I will try to look at the different views of the organs. Because I realize that I do not have the ability to actually look at the body parts very clearly when I do the visualization, and they don't stay very long. So is that a correct way to practice, or actually I should just stop doing it and just focus on getting my concentration and then do body meditation at a later part?
Good. Yeah, I mean, do body investigation maybe for 30 minutes or per day, yeah? But don't do it too much, yeah? And focus on the image, yeah? I mean, go to the market where they cut chickens or where they cut, you know, yeah? You don't like that, to see that, yeah? I mean, when they take out the intestines, yeah? Or when they cut up a pig, yeah? Go to the market and look at it, you know, and see it. And your intestines are not looking different from that. Yeah? Just tell yourself, yeah, I mean, whatever intestines of animals, you know, they look just the same as ours, yeah? Mm. Okay?
Okay, I will try that. That's all, thank you.
Did somebody come or was it already?
Brian, you can be listen.
Okay. Unmute yourself, yeah?
Hello, I had some questions. Can you hear me?
Huh?
I had some questions about just daily living. I had some questions about daily living. Is it better to tolerate when there's other people's noises, or is it better to make gentle requests to people to keep it down? So I can practice my meditation. I guess I'm just trying to figure out if I should be more tolerant or make requests, or if that's coming from the glaces.
I mean, you can try it with gentle requests, you know. I mean, can you keep it down? Yeah. But people normally do not follow. What I did then, you know, I mean, it's working with the noise, you know, and see it the noise, not as voices, but just as noise, yeah. Focusing a little bit, you know, until you get your concentration, and then go back to the breath, yeah? What is the problem? The problem is our dislike comes up, you know, and that's why we can't concentrate, yeah? We hear the noise, we dislike it, yeah? Just, you know, just turn it on, you know, concentrate on the noise and say, okay, that's the way the world is, you know, and then go back to your meditation. Yeah. Because the more you dislike it, you know, I mean, then your meditation doesn't go anywhere. But of course you can ask the people around, yes, you know, to keep it down, yeah?
Okay. Alright, good. And the other question I had was, I heard in one of your talks to do the meditation first thing in the morning, which I really like to hear, and I've been practicing that. So I don't even go to the toilet anymore. Like first thing in the morning, I just start meditating. But the I thought, like, should I put my clothes on and put the heater on? Or, like, it's very cold here in Melbourne. So I'm not sure about that, because it might be distracting if I'm cold, but then I wasn't sure if it was a glacier and I should ignore that.
It really doesn't matter. Just put a blanket over your body. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Yeah. One other question I had, I did a lot of meditation on the weekend, and I experienced kind of pleasure, or maybe like a blissful kind of feeling. I think it happened because I was concentrating on my breath. At one point, someone said hello to me in real life, and that kind of like snapped me out, so I had to kind of like open my eyes and say hello. But I'm not sure if that was how you talk about upachara samadhi, or if that's something just maybe some basic pithi, or I'm just wondering what that was.
It could be the entrance, you know. I mean that you just open the door, you know, to upachara samadhi, and so some nice, you know, nice feelings come up. When this happens again, keep on your breath. Or keep on the Buddha, disregard the feeling. What is happening, you know, if you concentrate on the breath or on the Buddha, I mean, that feeling becomes stronger. The moment you switch your attention to the feeling becomes weaker, yeah? Because you do not your concentration practice, yeah? I mean, these feelings are a result of your concentration practice, yeah? If you understand that, you know, I mean, it's easier to deal with it.
Thank you. That's all.
Okay.
Hello, Lumpo. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Hello, Lumpo. I'm really glad to see you. I wanted to ask you something. I was dreaming, like having a really heavy dream. And I was dreaming that I was being cheating with the wives of, you know, there's a couple that I actually know in real life. I dreamt that I was cheating on them when I was, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I was being dealing with the wife of this person. But then, you know, it felt so real. And I woke up and I felt this remorse and this dukkha and this harsh feeling. And I thought to myself, well, this is not real. It's just a thing. Why am I feeling this? So then I woke up, you know, I stood up and sit down to meditate. I kind of like was watching what I was feeling, the feeling, like sit down, kind of like Vipassana style, kind of like watching it. It kept on going really strong. So then I decided to go, you know, focus on the breath and calm down. Then I started to feel the dukkha of the feeling, of course, the physical dukkha. Then it was all dukkha. But then it came to a point that I was able to calm down. And everything felt distant. So at that time, I decided to bring back the feeling and investigate. And it kind of like diminished, but it kept on going. Actually, I'm still in there. It's lower, but it's still in there. So I wonder, is this something, I did some other lives? Or so why is it so strong? And I was not able to address it with meditation.
The first thing that you will do is, yeah, when you wake up in the morning, yeah, you forget about all the dreams. You just take a nice picture, you know, have it in mind, you know, or just do your Buddha meditation. The more you remember this dream, the more it's difficult to let go of it. What probably happened is that in one of your previous lives, yeah, you slept, you know, I mean, you slept with another woman and the man came in, you know, and you felt the remorse, yeah? I mean, this remorse, you know, this can happen, you know? Memories from our previous life, you know, come in, yeah? If you know that you haven't done it in this life, so, I mean, forget about it, yeah? I paid my price for it already, yeah? You probably went down to hell, yeah, for sexual misconduct. And now the memory comes up. Yeah, forget about it. It's not important. It's the kilesas who want to bring up this memory to distract you, you know, from your practice.
Okay, I feel really strong. I came to a point where in my meditation where mm-hmm. I was able to realize, okay, this is not me, this is not myself, this is not mine. It didn't even happen, yeah. Actually. But, you know, the pain was there,
and it's
still there,
but yeah. It can be these kind of, it's sort of a lucid dream. These kind of lucid dreams can be very heavy, yeah? Yeah? So, realize it, okay, say, you know, in the past I did wrong, you know, may people forgive me for that, you know, but I already paid my price for it, you know, so let's forget about it. Let's go on with our life.
Yes.
Okay.
That is one thing that I didn't think about, you know, like if I didn't know the life, just to, you know, ask for forgiveness.
Yeah.
That could help, yeah. That could be helpful. Thank you so much, Mantri.
You're welcome.
I have another question.
Yeah.
When I get to concentrate, mostly I use my breath. I have success with that. Sometimes I get to feel like this. It's like a chirping, kind of like a cricket chirping, but it becomes metallic. And then I notice that it's in rhythm with my heartbeat. So sometimes I focus on that, and it kind of like gives me relaxation. Do you think? Is that okay, or should I just keep on my breath and disregard that?
I mean, keep on it for a while, you know, but then return back to the breath, you know. I mean, it's a distraction, yeah?
Oh.
Just know it's a distraction, you know. If you can't get it out of your mind, you know, then concentrate on it, you know. And maybe, you know, in order so that it doesn't come back, feel the dukkha of it. In the beginning, you see only the sukha because it's nice, you know, it feels relaxing, you know, and you know it, you know. But see the dukkha in it. Because each thing, yeah, each experience has sukha and dukkha. And we only see one thing, yeah. So you only see the sukha, you know, the happiness, the pleasantness of it, yeah. Now, see the opposite, see the dukkha in it, yeah. And then the thing doesn't come up anymore.
Okay.
Okay?
All right. Thank you, Mante.
Anyone else with questions?
Yes, honey, do you hear the rain? It's getting heavier and heavier.
I think your mic is quite good, the noise cancelling. I think your voice is not working.
Okay.
I guess it's difficult for you to hear. Anyone else have questions? Because it is difficult for you to hear. There are some questions that were submitted online. There are questions submitted online. Do you want me to read those or you just do it another time?
No, go ahead and read it.
It's okay? Yeah, yeah. If no questions, I will read those online questions. Okay, so first one, is there any final form of life and death? Can one be freed from the bondage of coming and going in this world by finding some ultimate form of life and death?
I mean, it's very difficult for me to understand the question. Is there some
ultimate life and death?
I mean, life and death is with us, you know. There's no ultimate life and death. There's the overcoming of life and death. That's the only answer I know, yeah. I mean, ultimate life and death, you know, it's the ultimate life, yeah, can be in heaven or can be in hell, and death, you know, it doesn't make sense, yeah? The question doesn't really make sense. The ultimate goal of us is to overcome birth and death, yeah? Life and death, yeah? That's the only answer I can give.
Next question. Venerable Ajahn, is it possible to use Dharma talks as a meditation object? Currently, I just have 1.5 hours to practice every day. And I don't know if I should listen to Dharma talks or practice meditation. Sometimes I listen to Venerable Ajahn Mahabua talks and I feel very peaceful, even more than if I were using my breath or Dhobo as meditation object. Is it a good practice or I should go back to the breath? Thank you so much for everything.
I mean, I would switch it, you know. I would listen 1 hour to a Dhamma talk of Lungda Mahabua, yeah. And then after that, you know, because I'm calm, you know, then I would use the breath meditation. That's perfectly fine. Listening to a Dhamma talk while you try not to understand what he's talking, yeah, but listening with your heart is a very good practice, yeah, and it makes people calm. It's like for other people, you know, I mean, they chant for 30 minutes or for 1 hour, and it makes them calm. And afterwards, they go to, you know, and have their regular meditation, breath meditation or Buddha meditation. Perfectly fine.
Next question. Dear Ajahn, some teachings highlight that when one recites the scriptures and burns them, it can help to alleviate our past wrongdoings. Is this an unorthodox practice, and is this act a very self one?
I mean, it's a wrong view. You cannot undo your actions that you have done, yeah? I mean, reading suttas, you know, it's fine, yeah? Reading Dhamma, you know, it's fine. But, you know, I mean, confine yourself, you know, the teaching of the Lord Buddha itself, yeah? Or people, you know, like Lungda Mahabua, yeah? They are famous, yeah? Famous arahants, yeah? Read these books, you know, it's okay, yeah? I mean, it gives us some calm, yeah? But you cannot undo things that you have done. That's wrong view, okay?
When we practice any religion, our intention is to have more merits and reduce suffering. Is this also a very self act?
Repeat the question.
When we practice any religion, our intention is to have more merits and to reduce suffering. Is this also a very self act? I mean, I think he probably meant selfish.
Yeah. Yeah, you can call it selfish, but it's still wholesome. Yeah? I mean, if you practice, I mean, there are three kinds of merits that we can earn, yeah? The first thing, you know, we give something, yeah, with the hope that we get something back. Yeah? That is the lowest form. Then, yeah, the higher form is we give something because we find joy in it, yeah? Joy in giving, yeah? That is the higher form. And the highest form is to give without knowing that one is giving, yeah? So, I mean, it's selfish, but, you know, it's wholesome, yeah? I mean, some of our selfish deeds, you know, when we sit for hours, you know, in meditation, it's, It looks like it is selfish, but, you know, we do it to overcome self, yeah?
Next question. Dear Ajahn, I am able to recite the mantra Bhutbhuvo very well in my meditation, and throughout the day, it has become a natural place for my mind to rest, and I can stay with it without much effort. However, I have not yet developed jhana or deep samadhi, probably only excess concentration. I am eager to progress to body contemplation, but I am unsure how best to balance this. Would you recommend adding a few sessions of body contemplation each day, or should I focus solely on developing deeper samadhi with Buddha until it is firmly established?
I mean, to get into apana or deep samadhi, I mean, it is very, very difficult. You have to practice, you know, 12, 16 or 18 hours a day, you know, just concentrate. So forget about it, yeah? What I suggest is, you know, that for the next 3 or 6 months, you know, I mean, every day he does half an hour of contemplation, yeah? Body contemplation, yeah? Just do half an hour, that's enough, yeah? And then, you know, after half a year, you can do 1 hour, yeah? And as long as your concentration is good, you know, I mean, you can do more.
Next question. How can I make myself invisible? I am a magnet for harassment both in lay life and monastic settings.
Invisible in?
He wants to disappear because he has problems. Invisible.
Yeah, I know what invisible is. But why does he want to make himself invisible?
He has problems. Harassment. I'm a
man
for harassment, both in monastic life or in lay life.
Harassment?
Yeah.
I mean, he has to investigate. Yeah? I mean, you cannot make yourself invisible. Yeah? You have to, yeah? You have to investigate, yeah? The certain things that you don't like, what you don't like, you know, why you don't like it, you know? And what kind of signals you send to other people that they harass you. Yeah? I mean, this is investigation. Yeah, you should do the investigation in the evening and go through the day and see what is happening. What kind of thoughts are coming up? What kind of memories are coming up? Yeah. I mean, making yourself invisible is not solving the problem. Solving the problem is through investigation and to uncover the roots and root the problems out, yeah? Then it doesn't matter what people say or what people do, you know, I mean, you just feel free.
Next question. All transformative insights in my life came from extremely difficult situations, extreme physical or emotional pain, and extreme efforts. And I feel like I haven't fully begun the path. Is it due to the relative gross state of my mind? Are the months full of exponentially increasing difficulty through the stages of practice? Well, I guess I'm close. Jokes aside, how do I welcome these challenges without them drying up my heart?
I... What?
It will be more difficult in the future, but it's very difficult now. So how can I do it without? How can I do it without buying my house? Yeah.
Without what?
Without drying my house. Without
drying. There are difficult times, you know, and there are easy times. Yeah. And he just used, you know, investigation. I mean, if it's too much, you know, then just go into concentration, go into samadhi, yeah? When you come out of samadhi, you start to investigate, yeah? I mean, most of the times when you think it is difficult, it is a thought, yeah? It has nothing to do if it's really difficult or not, yeah? The moment you think it's difficult or your practice is bad, you know, I mean, that is the obstacles are produced by the kilesas. It might not be even difficult. Huh? You just need, you know, you just need a step, you know. I mean, rest in samadhi when you feel less energetic, you know, and when you feel energetic, you know, go on with your practice, yeah. Yes, there are difficult times, and over the time, you know, it becomes much, much more difficult. But we get also much more tools on hand, you know, how to deal with the difficulties.
Okay, Rompa, this is the last question. I see so many people who go to retreats, supposedly do their jhanas, meditate at home, support their communities, but when I interact with them, they show a lack of basic human qualities, same for monastics. There's a huge blind spot. How is this possible?
How is it possible that people go to retreats and do their meditation but still have some very basic human qualities that are missing, that are lacking?
Because they don't do investigation and they don't get into, what did he say, they don't get into jhanas, you know, they just get into some concentration, and after, you know, after the weekend of meditation, they're just the same. Yeah. If they have been bad before, but you know, they don't get really into concentration if they lack, you know, if they lack the five precepts, yeah. Then you never get into, you know, you never get into good concentration, yeah. But if they don't lack, the basic, you know, five precepts, yeah, then they can get into concentration. But, you know, I mean, for most of the people, after 2 days or after a weekend or a long weekend, yeah, I mean, they just return to the same old thing. Because the only thing that overcomes, you know, makes us better is, you know, I mean, is investigation, of the things, you know, that bothers us, that bring up the hate or bring up the lust, yeah? Now, for the investigation, yeah? Okay?
Yes, Uncle. Anyone want to ask questions?
No? Keep it down. It's very difficult for me also. The rain is very heavy, yeah?
Okay, Uncle, that's it. No more questions, Rompa.
Okay. We do it next time, yeah? I mean, it strains my voice, it strains, it really, yeah? I mean, talking through the loudness of the rain. Now it has become much, much louder. So, I wish everybody, you know, I mean, keep up your practice, you know, don't give up, and don't believe the kilesas who tell us how our practice is, yeah? Because neither bad nor good, you know, I mean, just go on, step by step. What did the Lord Buddha say? If we don't do one step forward, you know, we go 2 steps backward. Yeah? So just go, yeah? No matter if it is difficult or easy, you know, just go. Huh? One more meditation or one more Buddha or one more breath, you know, just go and go and go. And don't look at the results, yeah? So, have a nice day or evening.
Thank you, Uncle. Stay respectful, Uncle. Join the session. No. Okay. Thank you, Uncle. Thanks, everyone. Join the session today.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.